this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful that all of you are here today. This morning we're going to look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71. It's a long psalm. It has 24 verses in it. It's a prayer for old age. Of course, Mike's retirement party is today, and I've had my mind on that, so I think that's why I went to this passage. He's not the only old one here. How many, if you're a retired person, stand up. Let's see how many. I want to say a prayer. If you're retired, stand. Okay, just keep standing for just a minute. Okay, Miss Carolyn, you're retired. Okay, good. A whole bunch of us are. I am standing, so I'm retired too. Lord, I thank you for all of these retired people here. We thank you that you have given us a long life already, and we pray that you'd continue to use us in your service as long as we live. I thank you for the life all of these men and women have lived through the years, all the hard work they have put in through the years. And I pray now that in this time of our retirement, that you continue to bless and that we might continue to be a blessing to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 71 is a psalm, a prayer for old age. We have the King James Version that'll be on the screen when Adam, when he begins to put it up there. I really enjoy some of the more modern translations, so I get more joy out of reading them than I do this. But it's all right because it's what we're familiar with, and so we're going to look at it. I think what I'll do is just read through. I know it's 24 verses. And let's look at it. You can see it in your Bible, and it'll be on the screen, beginning at verse 1, and it's a prayer for old age. We're not real sure who wrote this psalm. Some people have thought it was Jeremiah, and I saw quite a number of folks thought it might be Jeremiah. I don't know any better than anybody else. I don't know who wrote it. But it looks like and feels like probably David wrote it during the time of his old age. And it certainly fits David, who authored so many of the Psalms. He prayed this way, O Lord, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been held up from the womb. Thou art he who took me out of my mother. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for me, my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and constrained that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. And I will praise thee with the psaltery or the harp, or the lyre, the guitar, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thee, of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame, that seek my hurt. Wow, 24 verses in the King James Version of the Bible, a lot of these and thous. Thou, O Lord, O God, my refuge and my strength. That your prayer as a retired person, as an older person? Some people these days retire pretty early in some jobs, and some jobs they don't retire at all. Interesting book by Henry Blackaby, one of my favorite preachers and authors in the world, Henry Blackaby, great man of God, great teacher of the truth of God. Henry wrote this book, Created to be God's Friend, and it's about Abraham. Old Abraham. And I was looking at the age of Abraham. When he was 60 years old, Abraham was called of God, chose him, revealed himself when he was 60 years old. And then when he was 75, it has a chart of his age in the back of the book. When he was 75, he called Abram from Haran, gave him promises, and Abraham at 75 obeyed. Let's see, Mike, you're 65, right? Well, I'm 77, and in a couple of months I'll be 78. Some of y'all are a lot older than that. When he was 86, Ishmael was born. Not suggesting anything, Mike. Madonna. When he was 100, Isaac was born. Take it. When he was 115, he tested Abraham by saying, take your only son up Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice when he was 115 years old. When he's 137, Sarah died, broke his heart. 140, he found a bride for his son Isaac. And when he was 175, he died. He learned that God is changeless, he is faithful, he is sufficient. And so, for the first 60 years of Abraham's life, don't know very much about that, but when he was 60, God called him. And when he was 175, he passed away. He died. this prayer in Psalm 71 is such a good prayer, and it helps us to understand how can we live in the days of our older age, our retirement years? How can we be happy and feel good about ourselves and feel good about our relationship to God? There's nothing worse, I guess, than a bitter, ugly, mean old man. Unless it's a bitter, ugly old woman. And of course, some people are like that. We know people around Derrick's, around Howard County. The older they got, the meaner they got, the worse they got. Some people mellow with age. Most people, a lot of people do. They kind of mellow with age. Preachers do mellow usually with age. But not everybody does. And some people, as we grow older, it just gets worse, and that's not good. So I'm looking at Psalm 71 and trying to figure out how those of you who are younger than even we are, how can you begin to develop some habits in your life so that when you get to be an old man or woman, you'll be a good example, just like Abraham was. Now, Abraham had ups and downs. He had trials. He had tribulations. God allowed him to fail and fall and brought him back and so forth, as God does you and me. But notice in Psalm 71, three habits that need to be developed if we want to grow old and be happy in the Lord. Number one, we need to develop a deep knowledge of God. We need to develop a deep knowledge of God. You'll notice in verse 17 of chapter 71, the psalmist, probably David, says, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I have declared your wondrous works. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the old years come along, and you say, I have no pleasure in them." That's from the book of Ecclesiastes. And you don't have to grow old and say you have no joy in them. I know a lot of happy old people. Joyful old people. I mean in their 80s and 90s. Still rejoicing in life and in the Lord. But it's important to develop this deep knowledge of God all the way through. Don't wait until you're 60 years old when Abraham was called. Begin to develop this deep knowledge of God when you're a child. We have those in Sunday school now, and little children went up to children's church, and Heather's up there teaching them in that part. And in your home, you're teaching your children that from when they're very small, they love God. They get to know God. How do you get to know the Lord? Through His Word, through the Bible. Very important that the most important book in your home is the Bible. It may be on their cell phone these days. Well, that's all right. You can teach them how to read the Bible on their cell phone. And if that's where they'll read it, let them read it. Take it right there. They may run away if you ask them to read out of a real literal book. That's becoming more common these days. But however we read the Word, it's important that we study His Word, that we get to know Him. So the psalmist said, I've been with the Lord. I've loved Him. He has taught me from my youth. God, he says, is my refuge. He is my righteousness. He is the rock on which I stand. See in verse 16 there, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And so it's important that you, when you're young, a child, a teenager, a young adult, keep working at and developing the habit of a deep relationship with God through Bible study, through prayer. We call prayer communion with God, and you grow as you pray. Prayer helps you to grow and to mature. And so as children you pray, and as young people you pray, and as adults we pray, in our older years we continue. So the first thing is develop a deep knowledge of God. Number two, a habit that if you're to be a graceful, happy, old person, you need to develop godly habits of trust and praise and hope. Those three words are vital in importance. You see, in verse 3 there of Psalm 71, we see the little word continually. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. That strong habitation is rock of refuge. Then look in verse 6. My praise shall be continually of thee. And then notice also, he is saying continually in verse 14. I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. So you see, as you read this prayer that David is praying, he says, I made up my mind, a firm resolve. I have decided that I'm going to be this way. Most of my life, your life, is mental. I realize physical things have a lot to do with it. Health has a lot to do with it. When you're in pain and in suffering and all of that, you see, all of that affects. But it's altogether mostly of the mind, of the heart, as we say in the Bible, of the mind or of the heart. Our attitude is so important, and we can make up our minds that we're going to be happy in the Lord and be happy in the Lord, or we can make up our minds that we will not be happy. And it seems like some people have made up their minds already. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to rejoice in the Lord always. There's always going to be a cloud that is over them all of the time. I think that's of the devil. It certainly is of the flesh, and it is of the world. As believers in Christ, we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are our enemies, and they are opposed to us and against us. But as Christians, as children of God, we are to live victorious. We're to have joy in our salvation and in our life as long as we live. So he says continually, continually, the habit of trust. That's in verse 3. The habit of trust. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Can you say that? Could you write that in your journal? I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now you read here in Psalm 71, it seems like he has enemies. He has people who are troubling him. Life is not a bed of roses. Life is hard. For some it is harder than others. There are enemies on every hand. In verse 10 he says, my enemies speak against me. They that lay wait for me, for my soul, take counsel together. And so enemies are all about us. But God is victorious. God is strong. He is stronger than our enemies. Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. And Mike, in our retirement years from this place forward, for me and to you too, we'll have to be using that idea a lot. But we already have, haven't we, for these first 65 or 77 years. It's not like suddenly we're going to begin trusting, or suddenly we're going to wake up one morning and say, aha, I have found the secret. We have been developing that all the years of our lives, ever since we were young. When were you saved? What age? 18 years old. And I was 12 years old. And so all the time, from all of that time, we have been growing, we have been developing, we have been developing these habits, the habit of trust. And we have been trusting in the Lord. And knowing Mike's life, and if I were to look at you and knowing your life, you would say, I've had to trust the Lord all the way through. And I have done that. I have trusted him all the way through my life and have found him sufficient through it all. I love that Andrea Crouch song. It's in our hymn book. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Second habit we need to develop is the habit of praise. The habit of praise. Notice verse 6. My praise shall be continually of thee. Praising the Lord. Every morning when we pray, Ann and I pray every morning, and nearly every morning I say, thank you, Lord, for all of your wonderful blessings. For the night of rest, and for all the blessings of our life. Surely you're grateful. Surely you are developing. Surely you have already developed. Teenagers sometimes find it very hard to praise God. Sometimes teenagers, I find in the youth groups where I've always been, they find it easy to praise God at the big youth rallies, at the big concerts, where everybody is shouting and playing the big music and all the lights are flashing and all the smoke is billowing on the stage and they're praising God and they're praising him. I've seen it. I've been there. We've all been there in those times when they were praising. But when they come back to their little old country church down in Dirk on Sunday morning, they act like they lost their last friend and ate pickles all morning long because there's no joy. It ought to be that there ought to be as much joy in the Lord in this place as that big arena in Little Rock or somewhere else where the great concert is going, where everyone is so happy praising God. As a matter of fact, I sort of tend to think, and I've been there, I've been at those crusades and so forth when I was so high and lifted up, I could hardly stand it. I could hardly breathe. I just felt so close to God. But then when I came back to the little country church in the little town like here in Derrick's, I didn't feel that same joy. It made me question whether that I felt there was real or fake. And sometimes in my own mind I would think, that may not have been real. Maybe I just got caught up in the atmosphere of the great rally of all of the others praising. The test is, can I praise God alone, by myself? The Apostle Paul was in prison, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas in that jail, just the two of them by themselves at the midnight hour. Wasn't any bands a playing, wasn't any whatever smoke was a blowing, probably was in that cell. They were praising God, and as a result, the jailers and everybody around heard and saw what they were doing, and a jailer and his family were saved. The habit of praise. Then third, the habit of hope. is so important. Are you trusting in the stock market for retirement? We hear so many advertisements on television and all of that, you see. Trusting in the uncertainty of the world. Well, a lot of people find their security in that. And then when the bottom falls out and everything disappears, they are a basket case. And it may very well be that you have found yourself in that position in the past. Maybe you've come out of it, sort of. The habit of hope, that is a secular hope. That's a worldly hope. Trusting in the world's riches and goods. But there's a spiritual hope which transcends all of that worldly hope. It is the hope that is in Christ. It is the hope that in this life we have hope, but we have hope more in the life to come. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men and women most miserable. Remember that? He says, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So the psalmist, he had developed a deep knowledge of God. He had developed those habits of trust and praise and hope. And then number three, if you're keeping count and taking notes, he had developed a lifestyle of ministry to the Lord, to God. You see, he says in verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of my old age. Don't forsake me when my strength is failing. And it does. Someone says old age is not for sissies. But I guess for some of us, when we get old and really our health is so bad and things are so rough, we sort of are sissies, I guess. Men sometimes worse than women, it seems in my experience. Women sometimes keep on going when those of us guys would have already given up, thrown in the towel and called it quits. I admire you women, you younger women, you older women as well, who you keep on going and you keep on encouraging us as well. And you feel you must do that, and you must. Cast me not off in the time of my old age, he says. I'm going to keep on trusting. In verse 15, look at verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy salvation. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness, for I know not the number of my days. We don't know that. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness. O God, I have learned about you from my youth. And then that verse 18, really, Mike, and all of you retired folks and me, that ought to be our theme. When I'm old and gray-headed, O God, don't forsake me. Don't forsake me until I've had the chance to show this generation thy strength and thy power. You see, here we are, retired, we're getting older. Such a responsibility to our children, our grandchildren. How many grandchildren do you have, Michael?
Six.
You got six of them. How many of them are here? One, two, three. Three of them are here this morning. That's a wonderful thing. And many of you have grandchildren, and probably more than that. It's so, so very important. And great-grandchildren. Some of you have great-grandchildren. That's a wonderful thing to live long enough to see great-grandchildren. But think of all the children around us. he says in this verse 18, Lord, give me strength. Do not forsake me. Be with me all the way through so that I can show this new generation your wonder, your grace. You see, we have an example, don't we? I have an example to you. You have an example to me. And I trust that all of us will do that to our children, our grandchildren, the little kids next door, the ones at school, the ones around our town. Be examples to those little ones because they're watching. We may not think they are, but they are watching us, and they can read clearly in our mind, in our lives, how much we are trusting in the Lord. Well, do you know Jesus? That's one of the most important questions of all. Do you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? I trust that if you do not, if you're retired or older, that you'll come to know Him. I remember we had a revival meeting in Nashville. I brought in Brother J. Harold Smith from Fort Smith, who was a preacher I got to hear on the radio when I was like 8 and 9 years old. And so just a few years ago, I wrote a letter to J. Harold Smith in Fort Smith, and I said, could you come down to Nashville and preach for us? He wrote me back. I didn't know whether he would, and he wrote me and said, I sure would. And I told him in the letter, I listened to you as an 8-year-old boy on the radio at my parents' house over in Texas years ago. But he came, and that Sunday morning, he said, now, when I come to Nashville, I want to have all the time. So dismiss your Sunday school. Give me that hour and another hour, and I may take another hour because we're going to have a one service, one day revival meeting. One of the greatest evangelists, J. Harold Smith, who ever lived. He had the radio Bible class on radio for 50 something years. Probably many of you heard him through the years. But he began to preach. Boy, he preached that long sermon. God's three deadlines that he had preached thousands and thousands of times. And when he gave the invitation, the aisles filled with people, old and young, as they came forward to be saved. Mighty was the most beautiful thing. They came, and everyone who came forward, he would talk to them and then set them down in the choir. And so we had the choir nearly full of people who had been saved. And one of them, this old lady whose name was Marge, one of our dearest friends, most wonderful person, did everything in the church and so forth. And I looked up there, and there she was, that old gray-haired, beautiful lady. And she said, as a matter of fact, J. Harrell, what he did was he had every one of them in the choir to get up and give their testimony about being saved. That was beautiful. It was so real and so wonderful. And so one by one, if they were up there, they had to testify about what happened in their life. And the little ones did it, and the older ones, and finally Marge. Standing there, she stood up and she said, I've been serving and working in the church and doing all these things with Miss Anna, the senior adults, and all these things all these years. But she said, this morning, Brother Smith, in your message, I was not sure that I was saved, and I had to make it sure, and I have come now to, if I was not, I want to be now. And she made her profession of faith as an old lady at that service. You see, I've found out that just because you get old, you don't get good. And just because you're old doesn't mean you're saved. There are a lot of dear old people who one day may die and go to hell. What a sad thing to sit in a church somewhere all of your life and be lost. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all of us gathered here today. And I don't know the need or condition of everyone here, young or old, but you do. And I pray that you have spoken to us through your word. And I pray that in this invitation time, if there's a decision that we ought to make, we'll do it. Help us, our Father, not to close our ears and eyes. Help us not to run away in fear. But help us, dear Father, to say yes to the call of your Spirit. As you draw us to yourself, help us, our Father, those who are lost to be saved, those who need to be baptized to come, those who want to join the church to come, those who want to rededicate their life to Christ to come. In your precious name we pray. Amen.